Chapter 29. Nia woke very early the next morning and crept out of bed so as not to wake Chris. She looked over at the bedside table where he'd put his watch, his clothes heaped next to the bed, and smiled. It was all so familiar and comforting. She gave Romeo his breakfast and opened the back door to let him out. Chris's phone, sitting on the work surface, rang with the alarm, and she grabbed it quickly to turn it off before it woke him up. After she'd done that, she stared at his phone, suddenly desperate to check it. She hated the urge, just as she'd hated herself when she'd checked all those times at home. It was how she'd caught him out, seen the texts from Sean. Why he didn't have a second phone, she'd never worked out. But that was Chris, always confident. It would never dawn on him he might get caught. And of course, even if proved right, he'd convince Nia she'd lost the moral high ground by being someone who snooped on people's phones. The phone was still in her hand. This would be the last time. She quickly scrolled through emails. Nothing. Now she felt even worse for looking, but it didn't stop her checking one more thing. She went to Chris's gallery on WhatsApp, scrolled through the photos and videos. At first, apart from a few pictures from Safi she'd not seen, nothing surprised her. But then she saw it. And as soon as she saw the still of the first frame, she knew what it was. Nia touched the still from the video and started to play it. Suddenly she saw one part that struck her as odd. She paused and enlarged it. Yes, she was right. Her hand was shaking now as she carried on until the end. When it finished, she stared and asked herself what was this doing on Chris's phone. She found the date and frowned. It was the date of the event. It must have been sent to him that evening. He must have known about it all along and been protecting her. Surely there should be a way of tracing it. Yes, Safi had told her that despite all the encryption, there was a pathway on WhatsApp videos enabling you to track back to whoever filmed the video. She kept digging, found again the date and the time it had been made, and then finally she was able to trace it back to the person who'd recorded it. Her fingers started to shake as she slowly lowered herself into a chair, sipping her water to calm her.
"You're up early?"
Nia looked up to see Chris grinning at her. But as his eyes dropped to his phone in her hand, his expression changed.
"What are you doing? Please say you're not checking my phone again. I promise you there are no texts from Sean. You're going to have to start trusting me."
"Am I?" Nia's voice cracked as she spoke, and she turned the phone around to face him.
"Someone sent me the video. I'll delete it."
He went to grab the phone, but she shook her head. "No, Chris, no one sent this to you. The pathway shows you made this film. You stood next to the stage, watching me falling apart, and filmed me." He stood with his mouth open, clearly searching for words. It never took long.
"I guess there may be comeback, and I also know how stories get embellished in schools. I thought it was as well to have an accurate record of what happened."
"That was your first thought, not, let me go and get Nia down, she's miserable, she needs my help."
"I expected someone else to, and I certainly didn't expect you to go on to attack Sean."
It was meant to put her on the defensive, but she wasn't going to be distracted. "Not only did you film this, but you must have been the one who put it on the school's Facebook page."
"Other people had copies," he stammered.
"How do you know? Who did you send this to?"
"Sean wanted one in case she had to give her side of the story."
"You gave it to her?"
"She saw me filming. She nagged me. I knew she wouldn't use it. But listen, the main thing to remember here is that I forgave you for what you did. You have no idea how embarrassing it was for me. For weeks after, people were asking me about it. The pupils and parents sniggering behind my back. The chair of governors asking to have meetings with me. Can you imagine what it was like? The whole school knowing the headteacher's wife had been drunk and attacked someone. And yet despite all that, I have been standing up for you."
"But the video? Surely it's reminded everyone about what happened. Why did you put it online?"
He grimaced. Firstly, let me make it clear I didn't think anyone would download it to their computer and put it on YouTube.
But why put it up at all?
He sat down, put his head in his hands. I wanted Safi to see it, but I didn't want to send it to her. I knew if I put it up on the school site, someone would send it to her. Everyone else knew what had happened, I didn't have much to lose, and I wasn't going to leave it up for long. Nia stared.
Why would you want Safi to see this?
You don't understand. I don't think she believed me about you being ill. I could hear it in her voice. She thought I'd been unfaithful, let you down. I had to show her how unstable you had been.
Nia shook her head. I can't believe you could be so cruel.
All I want is for us to be a family again.
But you lied to me, Chris. I was never ill. I know now you lied to me about the watch. I saw Shan's wrist in the video. She has an exact replica of the one you were wearing, only smaller. That child was right. They saw you, didn't they?
He shrugged. It was nothing. It was a fling.
No, Chris. It was lies. And you let me think I was going mad. I don't know if I can live with someone who treats me like this.
He stood up. So what are you going to do with yourself? You earn a pittance. No smarter house. No more living off my status. No, Nia, you need me.
I can live alone. I've proved that to myself. I've started a life here.
He laughed. I've news for you. You're making a complete fool of yourself. I saw the way the people here were looking at you when I came to find you.
They were angry.
No. They pitied you like the staff on the night you gave your drunken speech. For God's sake, you're only a hairdresser, that's it. Don't get so het up. You need to get back to Cardiff now before you go completely nuts here.
He prodded the side of his head with his forefinger.
You told me the police doubted what you said. I agree. I'm sure you were pissed. It's absurd to think you know better than them.
Nia felt hot tears fall down her cheek and turned away, trying to hide them. She felt Chris's hands on her shoulders, felt his breath on her neck. He spoke gently, seductively now.
Nia, I don't mean to be harsh. I'm saying these things because I love you. Come home now. Come with me and I will look after you. I love you, Nia. You and me, we need each other.
The words were like a strong magnet pulling her towards him, but she looked into his eyes. They were cold, unfeeling. Are you sorry for what has happened? She asked quietly.
Sorry for what?
For the affair.
I wouldn't call it an affair.
But it was an affair, Chris. You betrayed me.
Rubbish.
She blinked. And until you can see that, I don't see how we can work things out. She turned away. And there are people here who need me to stay. I want to find out what happened to Ruby. I wasn't drunk, and I know what I saw. I want to help Jade at the salon.
So strangers are more important to you than our marriage?
Chris threw his hands up in the air.
There's no reasoning with you, is there? You'll come crawling back in a week or two. These people will have sent you packing by then. I'm going to get my stuff together, and while I do, think very carefully about what you are doing. There's still time to change your mind.
Nia sat down. She was breathing hard. Her head was so hot it was as if she'd run a marathon. But she didn't move. She heard Chris thumping around, and then come down the stairs. Do you know when the next ferry is? She asked.
I think it's on the hour. Thank God. I can't wait to get away from this damn island. It gives me the creeps.
He strode over to the door, slamming it behind him. Nia sipped her water. Her hands were shaking. She bent down and stroked Romeo, who was looking very confused. He never said goodbye to you, did he? Never mind. Me and you are better off on our own for now. With a head full of rage, Nia went and got dressed. Opening the curtains, she saw her bedroom was a mess and no longer felt like hers. She stripped the bed, picked clothes up off the floor, straightened the things on her dressing table, tutting at the sight of her hairbrush. When she came back later, she would give it a good clean. From a drawer, she took fresh bedding and made up the bed, and then stood back. She could almost pretend Chris had never been there. After putting the bedding in to wash, she took Romeo to the car and left the close. She needed to be up high, away from everyone. She drove up to the downs and walked to the top with Romeo. Only when she could finally see the cliffs and the monument in the distance did she stop. Breathless, she sank onto the grass. Yellow and white were the dominant colours today, with the white froth of cow parsley contrasting with the cowslips and gorse. On one of the large prickly bushes sat a little brown bird with a black cap, singing like a nightingale, and far above, a kestrel hovered. In the distance, the sea seemed scattered with diamonds, sparkling in the early morning sun. The breeze was fresh and sweetly stroked her face. This was where she needed to be. Romeo wandered close by, chasing scents of rabbits and pheasants, as content to be here as her. What was she to do next? There was so much anger raging around inside her, combining with hurt, disappointment. She hugged her knees close to her. When Chris had appeared last night, it had felt like her knight in shining armour arriving to save her from the battering she was receiving from Elvira and Ian, and from that humiliating video. How she'd wanted that to be true. As Ruby had said, sometimes anything was easier to believe than the truth. Nia stood up, watched the kestrel dive arrow-like on its prey. She needed some of that determination, that clear thinking. Slowly making her way back to the car, Nia arrived at the gate that led to the car park and waited for Romeo, who was busy sniffing at the grass. "Come on, Romeo, I have things to do," she shouted. He looked up and started to meander towards her. His recall had never been very good. The trainer always said he took the scenic route back to her. Eventually he was back, she put on his lead, and they returned to the car. Once home, she walked into the kitchen to give Romeo his breakfast. As she did, she spotted the back door was slightly ajar. "Oops," she mumbled, but opened it fully, ready for Romeo to go out after he'd eaten. Nia went upstairs to get changed, but then noticed her hairbrush was on the floor. That was odd. She glanced around the room. Everything else was as neat as she'd left it, but why was this brush on the floor? As she picked it up, she saw the excess hair that had been tangled among the bristles had gone. "Am I going mad?" she asked Romeo, who had come in to join her. "It must have been cleaner than I thought." Then she noticed the waste paper basket. It had fallen over, and a few tissues were scattered on the carpet. She also noticed a few small clumps of hair were down there as well. That was odd. Then she remembered the open back door when she'd returned from the downs. Was it possible someone had been in here? But why go to all that bother to take a few clumps of hair? She ran downstairs, checked the living room and kitchen. There was little of value here, but nothing had gone. She must be imagining things. It was too ridiculous. With that, she closed the back door and made herself breakfast. But even as she did, a voice nagged at the back of her head. What if someone had been in the house while she'd been out? Someone had watched, seen her leave, and come in here, touched her things. It seemed ridiculous, and yet deep down she had a horrible feeling it was true.